Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Let's get back to the conversation. It's Community Connection with Tina Cosby from Isaacs and Isaacs Injury Lawyers, WeWin.com Studios on AM 1310, 92.7, 95.1 FM, The Light.
And good afternoon. Welcome to Community Connection. I'm Tina Cosby. Today is Tuesday, June 21st. First day of summer, everybody, and it's expected, yeah. Hey, you know what, Ethan? It is the first day of summer. I like that. That's nice. I love summer. It is the first day of summer, and it's expected to feel like it, with temperatures getting up to around 90 degrees before the end of the day. We are back after an amazing Juneteenth holiday weekend. I hope everyone had a chance to get out and enjoy some of the amazing festivities. There were numerous ones all over the city, north, south, east, and west. Lots of fun, great weather, an all-around good time, and a great observance and celebration of Juneteenth. On our show today, we are going to tell you about a couple of upcoming events, events that enlighten, inform, educate, and entertain the community, but in different ways. One is a live stage play that takes a closer look at our democracy from an African-American point of view, and the other, a social gathering that celebrates the excellence, Black excellence, in the arts in some very creative ways. But first, today is our rescheduled date for our regular food and meal distribution with the Indianapolis Urban League. You may recall it was pushed back to today, postponed just a week, due to the extreme heat warnings last Tuesday. My understanding is that the start time today was also pushed back to 11:30, I think. But things are now underway, is my understanding as well. With us now, David Gray, our Radio 1 Indie Promotions Director. Hi, David. How are you?
Hey, Tina. How are you?
I'm good. So, 11:30 start today. What was up with that? What was behind that?
You know, they were waiting for gleaners to drop off the food.
So,
yeah, the food time for the drop-off got pushed back.
Yeah.
So, actually, I just talked to them over at the Urban League, and the second truck just got unloaded. So there is food there. So, you know, if you didn't think that you'd make it to get food, there's still food over there. They're still serving people.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know anybody that needs a meal or you need to pick up a meal, you can go over now and they're ready to serve you.
Yeah, a meal in a box, because, you know, that a lot of people, there are meals, freshly prepared meals every week that go along with a huge box of supplies, food, groceries. So, you know, it's a meal in a box. I always call it a meal and a box, not a meal in a box, but a meal in a box. And you know what? Today it could get kind of toasty as well, but certainly not the excessive heat warnings and the danger that we were in last week at all. So it should be a pretty pleasant day. And it goes pretty quickly anyway, David. I know you're not with us. You're out of town for a while, so thank you for calling in and checking on it for us. The other question I have, and I guess we can, you know, if you don't know the answer, we can check with the Urban League, but since today it was postponed to today, we had another scheduled distribution for the 28th, which is a week from today. So is that still on, or has that been pushed back? Do you know?
No, as far as I know, that's still on. Today's distribution is just the makeup from last week.
Okay.
And so I think that's the only change. I haven't heard anything different, so I'm assuming that it's going to go on as planned.
Yeah. Well, what's the weather like where you are?
It's about the same. It's hot. and getting hotter. But, you know, it's funny because I talked to Dion this weekend because I checked the weather after last week.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, Dion, it was hot last week, and it's going to be 97, 98, you know, this Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I talked to Brian at the Urban League yesterday. He said, no, you know, we're on for tomorrow, heat or not. So... And he didn't say anything about next week. But like I said, this was just a makeup for last week.
Yeah, makeup.
Next week was already pre-scheduled, so I'm sure they're just going to keep with the program.
Well, yeah, and I think there's a difference between this week and last week and the heat indexes. That is huge. And when the meteorologist and folks start calling danger, then you have to pay attention to it. But, I mean, if it's a regular summer day hot in Indiana, not so bad, hopefully, so we can get that taken care of. David, I'm not going to hold you long, but I always ask you and Dion whenever one of you sit down here in front of the microphone. But the January 6th committee hearings continue today, and testimony today is expected to focus squarely on how Donald Trump basically pressured officials in key states to basically lie and cheat and, hand their states to him. That's what he wanted. And so that's expected to take a couple of hours this afternoon. We'll keep an eye on that. And, the Supreme Court has also made a couple of rulings that people are talking about right now. One that says taxpayer funded public assistance programs for public schools can also be used now to fund religious education. Yeah, that's going to be a biggie. And another ruling that came out from SCOTUS today that certain gun crimes are no longer considered crimes of violence, so they're being reclassified. So all of that, and I guess the court is hurrying up and trying to get everything out of the way so they can go on their summer break, but still awaiting word on Roe v. Wade, which is expected to be overturned. But here's I can take calls and we can discuss the other two that I just talked about. But David, here's the one. Did you hear this morning? This news is absolutely shocking. That deadly school shooting in Uvalde, Texas, like it couldn't get worse, how much bad news we've been hearing. That's the one where 19 young school children were killed along with two of their teachers. Well, apparently this morning, the Texas Department of Public Safety Chief Stephen McGraw reportedly testified before a Texas State Senate committee that police officers could have stopped that gunman, David, within 3 minutes of his entering that school building. Now, this is what the chief said. He said there was enough manpower and gunpowder to have stopped the gunman within 3 minutes after he entered the building. He was saying contrary to what's been reported, there were at least four ballistic shields on site, because people were talking about, well, they didn't want to just run. He counted four. And what we understand now, which is even worse, is that it was over an hour, 1 hour and 18 minutes and some seconds before shots were fired and they started engaging him. 1 hour and 18 minutes and some seconds. But can you believe that, David? So go ahead. My mind just went crazy. I mean, the Supreme Court stuff is big, and I'm sure there are going to be consequences. But this is the kids.
You know, I saw last night, they showed the image of, it looked like 3 to 4 officers with long guns, one of them had a tactical shield, standing at the end of a hallway, just standing there, not moving or anything. And, I hate to put it this way, but that's what you get paid to do, right? You get paid to go into the action, right? Mm-hmm. And, to be calculated, but go into the danger to help everybody else. Mm-hmm. So are you really fulfilling your duty by standing there in an elementary school scared of a kid with a gun?
Well, they what was some of the things they were talking? Nobody took command and nobody gave the order and nobody, it just sounded like everybody was just all confused as to what to do. But do you really need
I don't think that they were confused. I think that none of them wanted to have to deal with that. And so they waited and waited and waited until they felt that they had enough people there or whatever it is, right, to actually act. Because at some point, you're not going to wait an hour for a commander to come and give you a command to do something. Mm-hmm. At some point, you have to react. You have to be reactionary. Mm-hmm. And I will say this. we've seen a lot of footage and a lot of video of peaceful people where the police have no problem reacting in a violent way towards them.
Mm-hmm.
But you have an issue of violence where the police have to be cautionary and mm-hmm. wait for an order.
Yeah. Yeah, an air freshener on, I mean, something as simplistic as an air freshener on your rearview mirror that's not supposed to be there, and you use excessive force in that, but you can't protect, you know, school children for over an hour because David, here's the thing. This begs the question now. And with this state, what do you think about criminal charges? And you know, 317-239-1310, 317-239-1310. We've got a few minutes before our first guest arrived. But should this now move on to a criminal investigation? I mean, I know it's law enforcement. I just don't know. But you just said it a few minutes ago. That's what you get paid to do. So is the gray area dereliction of duty all the way to criminality? I mean, where do you see I don't know if you call it blame or what have you, but where do you think it lies? I mean, all the way to criminality or just, punishment for slap on the wrist?
Because, you know, again, we're talking about kids, right? So at what point is it not okay? Because we've seen situations where they're adults that are shooting up, because now it's become so common for stuff to get shot up, but be it a grocery store or wherever, where they don't hesitate to go in there. So that hesitation, somebody has to be held accountable. And remember, the chief of the police department is now, what, on city council or holds the political
office? Yeah, yeah.
What, to act like it didn't happen? Mm. Like, at some point, somebody's got to take responsibility. And because it was children, I do think that somebody's going to have to answer for it.
317-239-1310, 317-239-1310, or tweet us at Community Indy. Given these revelations that police in Texas at that school shooting with the elementary school children, their public safety chief has testified today that there was enough manpower and firepower to have taken that gunman within 3 minutes after he entered the building. It was just over an hour and 18 minutes before they started engaging him. David Gray, our promotions director, and I are talking about it because it just came down about an hour ago. They broke in, and I was reading and different things. And I mean, David, you're right. Accountability. Where does the accountability lie? I mean, do they remain police officers? Are they charged criminally? But come on. You know, here's the thing. Oh, go ahead.
I don't think any of them should remain police officers, because at that point, who are you protecting and serving?
Yeah.
It's clear that they're serving themselves. They weren't trying to protect anybody.
What would make officers, this big movement, Black Lives Matter movement is all precipitated by excessive use of force by police, right? Except, you know, that's kind of what pushed it even more. Excessive use of force by police officers. And then you have police officers sitting on their duffs, not saying anything or doing it. I don't get it.
I can guarantee, especially in the state of Texas, they don't take kindly. There's a lot of things the state of Texas does not take kindly to. And, you know, they love their guns down there.
Well,
you have police officers afraid to use their guns. That's going to be a big problem.
Well, I would think in Texas they would have gone in with guns blazing, because that's what you think of when you think of Texas. But, man, this is quite the revelation. I just can't believe that. And he's spilling it, isn't he? He is spilling it. He's telling it. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sherry, go ahead. How are you?
I'm well, Tina. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
This whole thing with the school shooting, I think you put your finger right on it. They just keep coming up with one excuse after another. I don't know if you remember or not. A couple weeks back, they even made us aware that those officers had just finished active shooter training. So,
oh, really? Yeah, I didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The week before, I think they said, a week or so before, they had gone through active shooter training. So every one of them knew that the protocol is to go in, not to stand by, but to go in. So I just don't know what to say. If we keep pretending that these long-arm guns that anybody can get is not the issue, I don't know what's going to happen.
I agree with you. But they were adequately armed, Sherry and David, from my understanding, from the testimony. These police were adequately, they weren't out, you know, we've heard that they were outgunned. David, did you hear that too?
Well, I heard that as one of his excuses, but even if they didn't have long guns themselves, even if they didn't have shields, I think it was after Sandy Hook when they first started doing the active shooter training around the country. And one of the things that they stated was that the officers are not supposed to stand by. They need to go in and confront the suspect.
Yeah, yeah, that's 101. Since Columbine, I believe, that's been 101. That's been the training. I did hear that, yes. And I read that has been the training, that you know, you waste no time in taking down the shooter. I don't understand what the, man. I mean, I was listening to all of the, I guess you call it excuses and what have you, trying to make sense of it. But with this revelation today, it makes no sense.
You can't make sense of that.
No.
And like you said, these are children. What if that was your child in there? Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody went in and got their own child, my understanding. They went and got their kid. But, yeah, I don't know. There's no other way around it that I can see. I mean, David, you're right. Somebody has to be held accountable there, unless there's something else that we're not getting. And I understand why they're having these hearings, because this is important. So what more could possibly come about as a result of these hearings that would preclude or not indicate that there's any criminality there?
I think the gentleman put his finger on it. Here, this is your job. We're expecting the teachers to be, I mean, those teachers did. One of the teachers stood in front of the children. She didn't even have a weapon, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Protect the children. But this is your job. You have been trained to do this job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely, Sherry. Thank you very much. I appreciate your call. 317-239-1310. David, if there was ever a case for defund the police, what do you think? This one? Maybe defund that police department and start fresh, because, wow, the whole nine yards. I don't know.
I know what. They need to defund those police officers.
Yeah, defund the officers. Not, but
they need to take their checks away.
Yeah, but the other thing I heard was that the chief, who is now the city county councilman, you know, some of them have dummied up because they've lawyered up, because I think they realize that they're facing possible criminal prosecution. They're just not talking. But, oh, goodness gracious. That just hurts my feet. That got me when I heard that. But
And again, we're talking about children.
Talking about kids.
We're not talking about adults. We're talking about children, not... And children at an age, like, not even high school children. Because, you know, I can even understand them thinking that, you know, a 17, 18-year-old can put up a fight. We're talking about, what, 9 and 10-year-olds?
Mm-hmm.
They can't fight anybody.
Yeah, somebody said nothing but their crayons.
You know.
Yeah, that's all they had was their crayons. So, but anyway, David, Juneteenth, I want to ask you very quick, because I know that you were out there and in the mix and everything else. So what do you give the city now that we're a couple of days past, well, one day past the celebrations? What do you think? How did Indy do?
You know, this was a wonderful weekend for Indianapolis.
Mm.
It was a wonderful weekend to rejoice in our blackness.
Mm-hmm.
I'm, you know, I'm not going to say just being black, because there were all types of faces everywhere. You know, I was everywhere. I know Dion was here. Dion would say the same thing. We spoke this morning. Mm-hmm. Aside from the fact that Dion made me walk the mile and a half from Indiana Avenue over to White River State Park. That's a whole nother story.
That doesn't seem like it's a mile and a half when you're driving it, David.
No, it doesn't seem there. And, you know, I had to explain to Dion, because Dion oh no, this is nothing. We can walk this mile and a half back and forth. And I said, well, Deion, this is my third time going back and forth. Walking this three times. But you know, the weekend started off with the gala and Babyface at the Walker, which was just amazing.
And you were razor sharp though. I'm telling you, you were clean. You were clean.
It was hot out there in all that black. And that's why I was surprised when I woke up Saturday morning and a little mad at myself because, you know, last week it was so hot it didn't go below 80 at night. And I walked out, and it was 65 Saturday morning, and I had my air conditioner running all night. So I was mad I couldn't just open the window.
Mm.
But I was thankful that, you know, the weekend wasn't as hot as it was all week, which really encouraged people to come out. You know, we were at Indy Juneteenth in Celebration Plaza. It was wonderful. It was just a sea of a celebration of us. Yeah. And, you know, the kids were out running around. People were out running around. Everybody was out and about. Mm. And then for the Walker, for the block party on Saturday and Sunday, you know, it was just an amazing crowd. There was art at the Walker. You know, they had the Art and Soul stage.
Right.
Those days. Mm-hmm. There was entertainment going on. They had an air-conditioned tent, so you didn't have to be out in the heat. So, you know, just overall, it was a wonderful weekend. I got to give kudos to Christian and Devin and Tinashe and all of them at the Walker. I told them over the weekend, I said, it feels good to be here and almost be done. They're like, we just can't wait for it to be over. And I said, well, you know, it must be a nice feeling because when we get done, I get about a week and then it's right back, you know, to the next thing. I said, you guys do this, you got a little while to breathe. I don't know what that luxury is.
No, it doesn't happen. But, you know, I'm going to say, I'm like Deion, people might come for me. I was so, so grateful that everything was incident free. I know that's a low bar, right? It's a low bar, but... There wasn't a single hiccup, not one, you know, not even a skinned knee that was reported. And that says something. That is wonderful. I was just so happy and so excited that everything went off without a hitch. You don't look for it and you don't expect it, but, you know, I'm just glad that everything went so well, so very well.
Well, you know, and especially now, to be able to say that you can go out someplace and bring the kids out and not have any incidents and not have to worry about anything. You know, the Walker had the kids zone. They had the video game truck and bounce houses. So there were plenty of activities for the kids, and all the kids were out. And like you said, it's great to be able to be out, not have any incidents, not worry about anybody's, you know, health and safety, and just have a good time. And this weekend was a really, really good time.
I think so. And I think that shows a lot of the respect that we all have for the for ourselves, you know, for ourselves and for the observance. And like I said, Juneteenth could not have gone better. I mean, I enjoyed it, enjoyed what I was able to. Even, you know, there was my pastor, I'm going to give him a shout out here, but he did it, Pastor Clarence Seymour, Dr. Clarence Seymour. He tied in Father's Day with Juneteenth. It was really a neat thing that he did, neat message that he preached. And, you know, then there was a Juneteenth presentation at the church and everything. So, I mean, even in our places of worship, there was this recognition. And, of course, it was Father's Day. Yeah, exactly, Father's Day. But to tie those two together, I thought was really neat. You know, it took a little thinking, but he did it. And so I don't know that either one of them are going to fall on the same day again. It'll be a long time before that happens because with the calendar. But it just so happened that Father's Day and Juneteenth. And for all the fathers out there that think, you know, we forgot about you, or that y'all, Rodney Dangerfield don't get no respect or what have you. Some friends of mine were saying that they had difficulty getting reservations to a couple of places because of Father's Day. Now, usually that's a Mother's Day type of thing. And we usually say on Father's Day, well, it's not too bad. You can go anywhere on Father's Day. But two of my friends told me in this particular instance, they could not get in on Father's Day because people. So there you go. So So see what it's growing in, and people are filling up at restaurants more so along the lines of how it is with Mother's Day. So.
Well, and it's funny you say that because, and I'm going to give all credit where credit is due. Our coworker, Dave Woods, who is our production director for Telemundo and does all the video, and he's all behind the scenes doing everything. Dave had a wonderful idea for a Father's Day event, and it sounded great. And then the first thing somebody said is, you know, that's Juneteenth weekend. And so, of course, like always, the fathers get pushed over to the side. So fathers just know. I agree. I'm not personally a father, but I'm an uncle to a lot of nieces and nephews. And, you know, I understand what happens with the fathers. Because Mother's Day, you go all out, there's flowers and candy and all types of gifts. And when Father's Day comes along, it's a mug or an ugly tie or a pair of socks. Just know we couldn't do it this year because of Juneteenth, and I'm happy that your pastor tied it in because fathers really do get looked past.
Yeah.
Just know we have something planned for the fathers come next year. I don't want anybody to steal our ideas.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, any previews?
We're putting it together now, right? No, I can't give any previews. Okay.
Well, the other thing.
We're going to start putting it together now.
The other thing that I learned was that from the church service, and it's true, that other than Christmas, Mother's Day is the most popular holiday. So you know, it's right up there with Christmas. So Father's Day has a ways to go to get up there. But so, you know, and I didn't realize that Mother's Day was the second most popular holiday, but it is. So, but fathers are moving on up, as the Jeffersons say, moving on up. And Dave Woods has an idea. Now, you think we're going to be able to do it next year?
I think so.
Okay.
Hopefully Juneteenth weekend doesn't fall on Father's Day weekend again.
Yeah. But the Juneteenth, it's going to be close. Let me see. I can tell you right now. Look in the calendar right now and see when it is, because it's always going to be close. It's kind of like having a birthday around Mother's Day, which my daughter does. Sometimes it falls exactly on the holiday.
Nope, it's June 18th. I'm looking now. And Juneteenth. Okay.
June 18th.
We're putting something together for the fathers.
So, something for the dad. Yeah, and rightfully so. We should definitely do that. But yeah, David, so it looks like the food and meal distribution is in good hands. I tell you, I love the fact I don't make it over. I'm not gonna lie, I don't make it over every week. And I did. I tried doing my show over there once, but by the time it was so robust and so busy,
listen,
that by the time I got ready to start my show, it's over. So there was nobody up. By the time I start my show at 1, it's over.
Oh yeah, well, and I don't know if you know, but the last time we did the distribution when I came on, I was actually out there. Karen broadcast TLC for us. So, you know, Dion, of course, call in to Tina. Well, you have access. Just dial in through the access. And I can really speak to that because it's really difficult because even though people see you standing there with the microphone to your face, I don't know why they assume that you're not talking on the radio. So I don't know if you guys heard, but in the background, people were yelling at me and screaming at me, and I'm looking at them like I'm on the radio. So it does get a little crazy. And by that time, you're right, it has slowed down a lot. And it's really like the after effect of everything that we did. This week would have been perfect because they're still out there going strong.
So now this week, a later start date would have been, and maybe when they start. But we tried it a couple of times, if I'm not mistaken. And so we ended up one time, I think it was one time when we had voter registration and there was something else. And then it might have been COVID. COVID something. I don't know. I'm not really sure. But, each time is like, by the time we are ready to start and go on the air, is everybody's driving off. They're done. So, but
you've witnessed it. Depending on the day, the food can go really fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be 2 hours, and at 12:30 we're done. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's one of those things where, yeah, you can't really tell if there's going to be something or not. But yeah, I do remember the couple times we have been out there, it's like we ran out of food early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then a couple of other times I've just gone out just to help. I know the last time I was there, my job was onions, and I had to make sure that the onions stayed flowing, were still flowing. But, you know, one final thing, David, one thing about that food and meal distribution, we say, you know, each week that it's a COVID-safe drive-thru, but there is a part of it, and I visited, I spent some time there a couple of weeks ago when I was over there, in the lobby of the Urban League for those who walk up, you know, the walk-ups.
Yeah.
People that...
You know what? And that's true, because we never talk about that.
We never talk about that. And that is a real thing. And there were a lot of people because one of the I think it was Kim Teague may have been telling me that they get sometimes between 75 and 100 people that walk up.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't really think about it because the focus really is on the drive through part. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you don't have a vehicle, mm-hmm. Or if you're taking the bus, because there's a bus stop right in front of the Urban League,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can just take the bus and walk right in. They'll have a box to have all your food ready mm-hmm. for you.
Yeah, everything
you don't need a bus.
No, you don't. But everything that they have for, you know, the drive-through, they have if you walk up. And there were people with those. I don't even know what you call them, but I remember when I was a wee little thing, David, back in 19-nothing, that I used to see the old ladies pulling these little wired carts that, you know. The what?
The shopping cart.
Yeah, pulling those themselves. And everybody had, all the old ladies had one.
My grandmother, I know my grandmother used to have every time we went shopping, we pull that little wire.
Yeah, what are those called?
I think it's just a shopping cart.
Yeah, I don't know.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, there were a couple of people that had those, that I saw a couple of those, and I hadn't seen those since I don't know when, David. I hadn't seen those,
mm-hmm.
but apparently they still make them, and that's great, too. And like you said, you don't even need the bus, but there is a, you know, it's something for everyone there. You know, I don't think because you don't have a car or because you have to ride the bus or whatever that you cannot participate in this very important distribution. You can. They have every area covered for you. If you have to walk up, if somebody brings you, I saw somebody got out of a cab. Have you seen that?
And yeah, I've seen cabs. I've also seen people in motorized carts and motorized wheelchairs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to put your cart or your wheelchair through the line. First of all, that's not safe. But we would never ask you to do that. But you know, if you're on a motorized cart or in a motorized wheelchair, you can go right inside the building and get your food. You don't have to wait in the same line that everybody else has to wait
mm-hmm.
in. So, you know, definitely. Don't think you have to have a vehicle to get food.
Yeah, exactly.
If you need food and you're looking for food, they'll find a way to serve you.
Yeah, and it's just as COVID-19 friendly and as COVID-19 safe as the drive-thru is. They take the same precautions inside that they do outside, so you don't have to worry about that. So, David, will you be back in time for next week's distribution, or are you going to be away for a while?
No, I will be back next week. You know, I don't get that much of a break. So I got to be back next week because, you know, now we're getting ready for Expo.
Yeah, we're getting ready for Expo.
Big thing coming up.
So. Yep. Yep, we've already, we started our series with the health fair because we're, you know, a big supporter of the Black and Minority Health Fair, as we are with so many other things. You know, the health fair is absolutely huge. And because it focuses on diseases and conditions that tend to affect African Americans and minorities in larger numbers, we stay on it quite a bit because there, you know, for a lot of people, David, that's the only contact that they have with the healthcare professional all year. It's the only healthcare.
Yeah.
And everything that's available. I was talking to Antoinette Holt. She's the director of the Office of Minority Health for the State Department of Health. And she said $2,500. I said, Antoinette, no. I said, y'all going to have to kick that number up. Have you been to the doctor lately? $2,500 worth of free health screenings. That's just one screening down there. So, you know, the value is far more. It may even be twice the $2,500. But what you get and what you're able to get screened for and and what have you is just invaluable. So we're going to stay on that, and we're going to hear from them again. She wasn't able to stay very long the last time, but she'll be in this week so we can get everybody ready to go. They still have the free rides. There's still special attention taken for senior citizens and those with disabilities. They have a special night set aside for themselves. So high cost of health care, no access to health care, things of that nature, once a year, huge access, no cost. All you have to do is get there. And so that's, you know, like I said, that's one of the many, many highlights regarding Summer Celebration that we like to share with our listeners and everyone else out there in the community. So I know you're going to have your hands full with everything, David, everything.
Well, and you know, we'll be at the health fair. We'll be in Expo Hall with Expo. So it's another mm-hmm. one of those weekends. There's a lot going on. But for sure, you know, if you have any questions about your health, if you feel fine, still go down there and take advantage mm-hmm. of that. Because like you said, it's a lot more than $2,500 worth of health screening that you're going to receive. And, you know, it's better to know than not to know. And, you know, the earlier that you can find out that something is wrong, the easier it is to treat it.
Yeah.
So if you have a question, if you've been feeling a certain type of way, anything like that, I would ask you and plead you to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Radio 1, in the 14 years I've been with Radio 1, you know, Tom Joyner used to have us take his loved one to the doctor day and just talk about mm-hmm. the importance of our community going and getting screened. And you're right. And looking at stuff that really affects our community that doesn't really get the shining light that it, other stuff does.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're listening and, you know, you feel some type of way or you have a friend that, you know, hasn't been to the doctor in forever or, you know, take them down there with you, because the whole weekend will be a good time. But it's really important to make sure that you're healthy, because we need each and every one of you out there listening.
Yeah, and our concert, and the free concerts returning back downtown as well, right? COVID is loosened. Folks have done a fairly decent job of getting vaccinated, so you know the concerts are back, and just you know, like you said, we're going to have fun, but we're going to get a lot of good public service things done as well. So,
and trust and believe, I will be somewhere in a corner somewhere waiting for Pat. I've seen After 7 a million times. No offense. I love After 7. I've seen After 7 a million times. I've seen Monica a few times. You don't get to see Patti every night.
I was going to say Patti LaBelle, you know,
Patti,
though.
Patti's going to come out and clown.
That's a get, though, David. That's a big get. And free.
Man, listen. You look. I know what it's going to look like down there. So, like I said, I'm going to find me a little corner somewhere. I might sneak under the TLC. Don't listen to it. But I'll be there for Patti.
Miss Patti, honey. You know what? I can't believe that she's still out there performing. Bless her heart. She is still going. Because she's what? Got to be in her 70s now, isn't she?
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But you know, that as long as that voice works,
heck yes,
drag Patti off the stage. But
she's a performer to her heart.
You know, a lot of our great are getting up there in age.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I love Frankie Beverly and Maze. I love the Isley Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know,
David, you're a young fella. See, a lot of folks don't know you're a young fella. What you know about the Isley Brothers and Frankie?
I'm from Detroit. I'm from Old Town.
Okay,
you know, it's in my blood.
Okay,
so, but. You know, you don't get to see them perform. And,
no.
And Patti is still at a high level.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Patti is still performing at a high level.
Mm-hmm.
So I know we're going to be in for a show. Because mm-hmm. Patti only knows, she only got one speed. And that's all the way. So it's going to be a show.
But I have to tell you, David, I have been spoiled. You know, in my youth, I was spoiled because of the Pattis, of the Jonathan Butlers and the others, the, you know, who would absolutely, the Frankie Beverly's, they would perform. perform. They are the ultimate entertainers. That you would go to. You pay your ticket, pay your money to buy your concert tickets. You got a concert. You didn't get a lot of silliness and a lot of, you know, not saying that all of them are that way now, but I'm just saying these folks perform, they're entertainers, professional entertainers, and you got a heck of a show. You all, and like you say, they know one speed.
Well, and it's funny because I had a conversation the other day about Jay-Z, and everybody loves Jay-Z.
Okay.
If you've never seen Jay-Z perform,
I have not.
Break it down real quick.
Okay.
Jay-Z stands on stage. He walks to the left side of the stage. He walks to the right side of the stage. He stands in the center of the stage. So as great as Jay-Z is, and I'm not taking anything away from Jay-Z because he's absolutely phenomenal, you don't go to see Jay-Z perform to see Jay-Z really perform because he's not really performing, right? Now, and I'm not saying that Jay-Z should be out there singing and dancing because that's not Jay-Z's lane. But there's a difference when you see somebody who is a performer, who puts on a show, who makes you feel that the money you spent to go see them is
well.
And then there's some people that you pay to go see, and you're like, I could have just watched a DVD of it.
Yes.
Like Beyonce. Beyonce is a fabulous performer.
Yes.
Chris Brown is a phenomenal performer.
Is he now? Chris Brown is?
You've never seen Chris
Brown? No, I haven't.
Chris Brown is a phenomenal performer. And actually, I saw a video this morning because Chris Brown gets a lot of comparisons to Michael Jackson because he goes out there and sings and dances and leaves it all out on the stage. And it was funny because Chris Brown himself said, he said, I'm not Michael Jackson. I'm nowhere near what Michael Jackson is. I wish I could be at that level.
Uh-huh.
But if you've never seen Chris Brown perform, Chris Brown is probably the closest thing to Michael Jackson that we got.
Oh, you know what?
If you want to see somebody go out there and sing and dance and really, listen.
Here's the thing, David. I saw him one time several years ago down on the Circle, and it was on the Circle for something, and he only had about 15 or 20 minutes to perform because they had several acts back to back, and Chris Brown was one. Yes. But I didn't get to see the full, because he wasn't the main event or what have you. It was several. So I'll have to, I believe you. But, all I want is to get my tickets, my money's worth. And there are those who truly, those entertainers who truly believe that if you paid your ticket and you've come to see me, I'm going to perform. I'm going to give you a show. That's basically the thing. Like you say, I'm trying to think of, I'm going to let you, I keep telling you I'm going to let you go, but I got to let you go. But one of the most impressive, and I never in a million years would have thought that I was, the Blues are okay. I like them. But I got some free tickets. It was at Beef and Board's Dinner Theater. In fact, I got like four seats to the, somebody gave them to me. I can't remember. It was B.B. King. And so I knew that I had some family members who would enjoy it. I think I had maybe, might have even been six. But anyway, we had a whole table there, complimentary table. And I saw that man perform. And I had seen him, in commercials and, different things. And I enjoyed. But I'm telling you, David, to this day, I don't think I've ever seen as brilliant a performer. Humble, classy, and just went on and on. I mean, that was a concert and a half. The man performed. Never in a million years.
Imagine.
Huh?
It was maybe a week or two ago, I saw a clip of B.B. King.
Mm-hmm.
B.B. King was playing and singing and broke his guitar string.
Mm.
And kept on singing and playing, pulled another string out, restrung his guitar while he was singing, and just kept going like nothing happened.
Mm-mm-mm.
When you talk about people who are on like the peak level of what they do, B.B. King is right up there with Prince and Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And all the way that he plays the guitar is just, it's phenomenal.
It is. It was.
He, And it's you're right. Because I've seen B.B. King once, and it's definitely something to witness.
That's that
old James Brown.
Yes.
Out here.
Yes.
We're going to put on the show.
Yes.
James Brown doesn't even really get the credit. Because I don't think a lot of young people realize how that James Brown was that guy in his age.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to the music, like the way that he commanded the band, while also performing for the people and putting on a show, there's not too many that have that. That's that it factor. And only a few people really have that.
It said James had the tightest... tightest band in show business, James Brown had. I believe I saw him once in Louisville, I think. And he was phenomenal as well. I couldn't believe... And I saw the whole routine, you know, where he's kind of stepping off stage. And then they put the... Well, I don't know if it was Maceo or whoever puts the cape on him. And then he throws it off. You know, that showmanship. Unbelievable showmanship.
And remember, and a little side note, because I'm an audiophile. I love music. I love all types of music.
Mm-hmm.
I always try to look into the story. You got to remember, Bootsy Collins was James Brown's bass player.
Okay.
A lot of these funk guitars, a lot of the Parliament members and stuff, they started off playing for James Brown. So it's a small circle of all of them. Yeah. I'll give you the background one day. We'll talk.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
Well, you know what? Something interesting about BB that I never knew is that when he plays, he doesn't sing, and when he sings, he's not playing. If he's singing, he drops his hands when he's singing. And then when he's got to play a lick or something, he'll... But he never sings and plays the guitar at the same time. I never knew that.
Yeah.
And he was in an interview about that, and I can't remember exactly how he explained it. It's just the way he learned. Because you know how some people just, you know, they're strumming and singing and doing it. BB, no. And he'll drop his hands and grab the mic and sing, and then he'll pick it up and they'll play. If he's playing, he's not singing. If he's singing, he's not playing. And I never knew that. It's a fascinating, fascinating thing to watch. But, David, I didn't know that Bootsy. So, yeah, James Brown, Bootsy. I didn't know Bootsy. You see, you know these things, so. That is important to know. All righty, David. Well, you be careful. Safe travels back. And we'll be talking with you next week because I, as far as we know, everything is going to be on schedule back to the regular time next week for the food and meal distribution.
Yeah, everything should be back to our normal scheduled day and scheduled time. If I hear something different between now and then, I'll let you know, Tina. But for right now, they haven't said anything. They haven't said it's changing. So we're going with the regularly scheduled program.
Okay. All right. Well, stay cool. Enjoy your time off. And I will see you when you get back in the next several days. So be careful.
I will. See you soon.
All right. Talk to you later. And again, that's David Gray, our promotions director. And for those of you who may not know, David is out at the Indianapolis Urban League every Tuesday, with maybe one or two exceptions. David handles everything for us. He and the other Dave, David Woods, who he talked about, they're there setting up and making sure everything is okay. David had a long Juneteenth weekend, and so he's taken a couple of days off. But the food and meal distribution, if you went over at 10 o'clock and it hadn't started yet, it did not start. They pushed the time back because they were awaiting a delivery from Gleaners, I do believe. And so the time was pushed back from 10 a.m. To 11:30. So my guess is that it is still going on at this hour, and it will go on until everything is gone, which usually doesn't take too very long. So it started at 11:30. Now, because it was postponed from last week to this week, doesn't mean anything has changed as far as the regular distributions, which are basically biweekly. So the distribution, the food and meal distribution for next week, the 28th, is set. So barring any dangerous weather, like what happened on the 14th, barring any dangerous weather or other unforeseen or unknown circumstances, next week, there'll be another one next week, a week from today, at the Indianapolis Urban League on the 28th, another food and meal distribution. And it will start at the regular time, which is at 10 a.m. And it'll be, again, a COVID-safe drive-through. And as David and I were saying, there is also an opportunity if you do not have a car, if you do not have transportation and you still want to participate, please don't feel as if you cannot, because you are certainly welcome and encouraged to walk up. Just go to the lobby of the Urban League headquarters, 777 Indiana Avenue, and you can pick up your food and freshly prepared meal. So whatever's still available today, feel free to go over there. If today doesn't work out, everything will be back on schedule next Tuesday. Excuse me, next Tuesday. At the regular time. As we were saying, this is the first day of summer, and so it's going to be kind of hot in the 90s, so please take precautions and make sure that you keep yourself safe, hydrated, and what have you for the weather. Is going to be on the show today. There will be a couple of events that you'll need to know about. You know, they basically are for the community and for your education, your entertainment, of course, but also for your enlightenment and enrichment. We call it enrichment sometimes, and it's really neat to be able to share these two events that are coming up with you. One is a live stage play that's going to be at the bottom of the second hour. And it looks at democracy, excuse me, from an African-American point of view. Of course, it was written by African-Americans and performed by African-Americans, but it's still pretty good because it's food for thought, especially as we just come out of the Juneteenth weekend and head into in the next, couple of weeks. Yeah, 4th of July. Was it 2 weeks? I don't know. Another week or two, the 4th of July, Independence Day. So emancipation from slavery, and then shortly after that, independence from, you know, foreign power. So that'll be good. And then another event coming up just moments from now is the Black Excellence in the Arts. It's a free event, and it encourages a lot of things. So I'm excited for you to hear about that as well. The other information and the other news that David and I discussed, excuse me, was that those hearings continue today. They started at 1 o'clock. So we'll sometimes when they say they start at 1 o'clock, the committees aren't always ready. It's the January 6th Select Committee hearings. Again, they are expected to focus squarely on Donald Trump and what he did in terms of pressuring or trying to pressure state officials to basically give their state to him, you know, do whatever they needed to do. For goodness sakes, give me a break. He's heard saying in one of them, I just need you to find this many votes. So that's what that's going to be focused on. And we may have an opportunity to talk about that a little bit. I don't know. If not today, then probably tomorrow. Also, a lot of stuff's rolling out of the Supreme Court right now as they prepare to head off for summer vacation. You know, one of the hearings, as I was telling David, one of the rulings from several of their hearings, it's sure to be controversial and sure to garner a lot of discussion, is that taxpayer-funded public assistance programs like vouchers for public schools can also now be used to fund religious education. There was another ruling out today, and I'm going to keep track of I need to have this on here. Another ruling out today that basically reclassifies certain gun crimes. It has to do with guns, that they're no longer considered crimes of violence. And the extended conversation that David Gray and I got into had to do with the hearing in Texas today before a Texas state state Senate committee, and their Department of Public Safety chief, Stephen McGraw, apparently testified that that shooting in Uvalde, where 19 young children were just slaughtered and two of their teachers trying to protect them were killed as well, that police officers could have stopped that gunman within 3 minutes of his entering the school building. He also said that there was enough manpower and gunpower to have stopped the gunman within 3 minutes after he entered the building. So that's a, it's kind of a quick recap of what we talked about so far. Brother Imhotep, I think I can get you in before we go to break. How are you today?
Hey, how you doing, Tina?
Doing great.
Thanks for my call, and hope your weekend was peaceful and
educational. Yeah, same to you. Same to you.
And serene. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a lot of reaction to that decision. I read Justice Sotomayor's dissent, which I implore everybody to go read that. Mm-hmm. You guys are always talking about local, this and the third. This affects local.
Mm-hmm.
This affects the whole country. These decisions that come from the SCOTUS, the top court in the land, mm-hmm. affects everything down to the local level. Okay, go read that. And if you haven't, I got back in town late yesterday evening. I stopped at my Legion post at mm-hmm. Harpo Tillman up there on Mother King. And I was just listening to some, they have karaoke on Mondays. I'm listening to the beautiful singing going on from the people in the city. And I happened to look at the back table, and here was a printed copy of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. So I picked up a copy. And I implore all you all, go back and reread it. Reread the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution again. Because this SCOTUS you have is burning, throwing that in the trash. You may not like it. You may not believe it. I know you guys claim to be holy and religious and stuff like that. Jefferson, Madison, I know it from studying in school, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They did not want any religion in the way of any government business.
Mm-hmm.
They suffered supremely in England.
Mm-hmm.
The Church of England had people under their thumb.
Mm-hmm.
Look at your King James Version, written by the King of England.
Mm-hmm.
England was real, real harsh.
Mm-hmm.
It was a theocracy, and they didn't want that here. And what's going to happen is all you all care about is that you think it's just one religion in the world. Some people, I would say, think it's just one religion,
mm-hmm.
in the world, and it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's thousands of different beliefs in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to see if this ruling today is going to apply to atheists, Satanists, us commissions, Muslims. Can we all get some money then?
Mm-hmm.
Because they've thrown the establishment clause out of the window. They've thrown, and they're going to throw a whole lot of stuff out of the window. This is, hey, that Constitution that you know of, people,
mm-hmm.
is being burnt to the ground as you look at it. Your First Amendment has always been under attack.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that they really fight for is the Second Amendment, and why? We know why. Okay, but truly, your Fourth Amendment has already been gutted. Your Fifth Amendment has halfway been gutted. Your Eighth Amendment has halfway been gutted. Go read those things,
mm-hmm.
and then go look at decisions that have affected those things, and how they affect the everyday person. It's not someone from way across the way. It's someone probably right down the street. Could have been someone in your family that's affected by these same decisions. And lastly, to the young people or people who may be able to talk to young people who say elections don't matter, this is showing you that elections do matter, because Donald Trump put three people on that court.
Mm-hmm.
He put three people on that court.
Yeah, and those are lifetime appointments. And so,
lifetime appointment, and those three people are the reason why you're getting 6-3 decisions.
Absolutely.
What the decision was to a 6-3, probably the Roe versus Wade decision is probably going to be a 6-3 decision.
Yeah, there won't be any changes to that. I don't know why people are prognosticating. Why are people saying, well, if or whatever? You know, I mean, I understand you have to say that because then you have to say if, but I don't. There's nothing is going to that draft is as is. I believe that draft is going to be the law of the land. That's it.
That's right. It's going to be law of the land. Justice Thomas was mad about who leaked it and wanted to run an investigation.
Nah.
You don't know. It's 40 staffers in there. You don't know who leaked it. But
he needs to take care of his own house.
We just had Juneteenth, which actually the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation was January 1st, 1863.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a quagmire while we have June 19th, 1865, because
mm-hmm.
it didn't get to Texas. But that's a different argument. I'm not going to have that one today. But the most part is, go through and read those amendments, people. Go through and read those things and see why come they stopped at either 26, 7, or wherever they stop, and then why we don't have any more, because you need two-thirds of the states' rights again, mm-hmm. and then look at how they're gutting all that. I'm telling you, this mm-hmm. thing is going to fall real bad. And if you do, people don't wake up and cushion ourselves to what's really going on, you're going to get in trouble. Yeah, you're going to have freedom to carry guns come January 1st. Yeah, you're going to have freedom to carry guns. But what about when you get in trouble and go to court, and now you may not get legal counsel? Or if you're innocent, like they did a decision a few weeks ago, if you're innocent for a crime, now you can't get any type of redress unless you have some either poor assistance of a counsel or the judge did some misconduct or something like that. They've taken every roadblock for regular people to be able to do anything and try to stop it. And so it's coming down the line, and we're too worried about being, you know, like we're so in God's trust. God put power in man's hands. And this is what these men and women, Barrett being the woman in the conservative wing, this is what they think of it. Because in my mind, any righteous-minded person would say, hey, we got this separation here. If we're going to treat one this way, we got to treat all this way. And that's not what they did. So thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Brother Imhotep. And you're right. The door has been open. They've opened those doors wide open and probably don't realize what they've opened them to. We'll be back with more Community Connection right after this.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
TLC AM, W224DI, W236CR, Indianapolis. It's time to discuss the important topics happening in and around Indy. It's Community Connection with Tina Cosby. Brought to you by Child Advocates. Your voice, their future. On AM 1310, 92.7, 95.1 FM, The Light.
And we are back with Community Connection. I'm Tina Cosby. Today is Tuesday, as we were saying. Yes, it is. It's the first day of summer, Tuesday, June 21st. And as I was saying at the top of the show, we were going to share with you a couple of upcoming events that are for the community, but they serve the community in different ways. Obviously, entertaining, of course, but a lot of education, a lot of information, a lot of enlightenment, a lot of enrichment. And so we're going to start with the first one, and it's coming up this Friday, June 24th at 7 o'clock. And it's going to be held at the Hub and Spoke. I had never heard of the Hub and Spoke. But anyway, here with us to tell us more about this evening of art, culture, and appetizers is Rochelle Lavelle. Miss Lavelle, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. And you are the president of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated Chi Chi Omega Chapter. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Okay, I'm done now. I got that much out of the way. I'm done. Well, it's good to have you with us. Good to have you back with us. So,
yes.
So tell us a little bit about this event. And one of the things that caught my eye right away was that it's a free event.
It is. It is a free event to the community. We are so excited about this event. I just can't even explain how excited we are, specifically around what we will be showcasing at the event, and also just the feedback that we've gotten as far as the interest from the public about this event. So we're very excited about it. This program, as you mentioned, Arts, Culture, and Appetizers, will highlight several local artists as we focus on various modes of art, from poetry to culinary arts and really everything in between. So we'll have poets that are there that will present original poetry, as well as several visual artists who will also display original pieces that will also be for sale. So this event really is all about giving back to the community, highlighting Black arts and Black entrepreneurship.
Yeah. The importance of that. Tell us about it. And I noticed that culture is spelled with a K. So if you happen to see the flyer, yeah, culture and about the culture being spelled with a K, I'm sure that's meaningful. But the importance of us celebrating and recognizing and supporting the arts.
Yeah, I think it's really important, specifically in our community. Art really helps to encourage, you know, self-expression, authenticity, and even, you know, confidence, right? And so we really appreciate the Black Arts Movement, and specifically our Black artists here in the local Indianapolis community. We think it's really important to allow creativity and really a space for our young people and older people to express their imagination, express their vision through their art.
Yeah. I understand that this is in conjunction with Kappa Alpha Psi fraternity. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes. They have come along for the ride, which you'll see with arts, culture, and appetizers.
Is that why culture is spelled with a K, because of the Kappas?
It's a play on that.
Okay, okay.
About AKA, you know.
Okay, I got you. I got you. Well, I was just wondering with the K, you know, being there. And so they, you know, so how does this speak to the overall mission of the Kappas and the AKAs in terms of, because we know you serve the community, and we know that's longstanding, but how does this particular community event speak to both the Kappas and the AKAs?
Well, specifically for Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, this hits on two of our international targets, one being building economic legacy and the other being the arts. And so the economic legacy for us is allowing our Black business owners to come free of charge to showcase and sell their items. And then the arts is allowing various type of artistry to display and showcase their talents. Again, whether it's through poetry or visual arts, we also have hairstylists, just all the ways you can think of creativity we'll have there.
So do you have any names or anybody that's going to be there, local artists that we're familiar with, or are these people we're going to be introduced to when we get out there?
Yeah, we have some videos that we showcased on our social media platforms on Facebook and Instagram for you to check out at Chi Chi Omega. That's C-H-I-C-H-I-O-M-E-G-A. We have some videos out there, but I think it'll be really great for folks to come out and see those artists in person and be able to look what they have to offer.
Yeah, and you say the hub and spoke. Not that I've heard of everything, but where is hub and spoke, and what is it?
Yeah, so hub and spoke is a really unique kind of mixed use community center. So you have various offices and space available for events and such, and so it's actually in Fishers on 106th Street. And so there is an opportunity for us to really display the arts in a very open forum here at this location.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's from, and again, it's absolutely free. I love the fact that it's absolutely free.
Yeah.
starting
absolutely.
Starting at 7 o'clock. So, what are your thoughts in terms of how I just asked our last, our promotions director, we were talking about something else, but as we've just come through a Juneteenth weekend, any thoughts there that you can reflect on? I know your organization had some type of recognition and celebration, but what are your thoughts as we've just coming off of a Juneteenth weekend, heading into an event like yours?
Yeah, I think this actual program itself is really very complimenting to us coming off of the Juneteenth weekend, right? The Black Arts Movement was really born out of the social and political unrest during the Civil Rights Movement. And so Black art really represented Black power and Black freedom, right? And it really allowed us a space to create in through our eyes. And so I really think that this event is really important because we don't always get a lot of opportunities to show and freely express ourselves. And so I really think it is about Black freedom and expressing yourself in any way you wish to.
Yeah. And boy, I just think that that's something that we don't, you know, we have an event once a year at the library. I think we need so too many more. I think we need so many more events of this kind, because I just don't think that we understand how to appreciate what we don't appreciate. You know,
I agree.
Does that make sense? We don't know how to appreciate what we don't appreciate. And when, and especially, you know, with artists who are coming with us, coming with us. With so many things that they can put forth for us to see, to enjoy, and to be a part of. It's just absolutely amazing. I looked at the art over in front of the Walker Theater, the George Floyd mural, and man, that thing made my head blow, just explode, because there was so much symbolism, so much in there,
mm-hmm.
and it was so rich with our culture, with our, you know, with who we are, what we do, that it just, you know, you had to see it over and over, and that, I guess that's one of the signs of good art. But if people would allow themselves to understand and appreciate more of this, I think we could get more of our artists recognized, we could get more art distributed, if you will. I just think that we could do a lot better than what we have been, and maybe it's because we've been locked out sometimes. I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't always had access. I think we have to start creating our own opportunities right in our community, and not relying on other organizations to do that for us. And so, with Alpha Kappa Alpha, we really truly believe that it's important to support Black-owned businesses and just the creativity of Black people. And so I hope this is one of many programs, not only provided by Alpha Kappa Alpha, but also other organizations to, you know, step up and start to implement programs as such that really allow visibility into the local art scene here. And then maybe can expand from there and start bringing in other Black artists from outside of the city as well. Just really creating a big movement to start supporting each other.
Yeah, that's big. So where can people find out about it? Do they need to register? Are there any COVID-19 protocol that has to be followed? I mean, what are the what are the specifics in order to participate, other than the fact that it's free? I mean, we know that.
Sure, it's free. Registration is required, and so we have on our social media platforms, again, Facebook and Instagram, under Kai Kai Omega, posted that link. We are so excited by the community's response to this program that it sold out pretty quickly. However, we do have tickets that are slowly being added to the Eventbrite registration page, either from people not either being able to attend or us being able to add additional space at the location. And so we would just encourage the community to keep checking back on our social media page and checking to see if any tickets are available. We also strongly encourage social distancing, and that's one of the reasons why we're having it at this space, because it's a pretty big open space.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to be on top of each other, right? And we'll have a mask on hand because we strongly encourage the wearing of masks, especially inside. And so we definitely put the community safety first and want to make sure everybody is able to enjoy, but also to stay healthy as well.
So it's going to be inside, outside, or all inside?
Majority inside. We do have a local vendor, a Black-owned food truck coming,
mm-hmm.
To support us. And so they will be set up outside,
mm-hmm.
And be selling food there.
So even it's free, but you have to register to be able to attend, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And so how many people can you accommodate, even though I guess I understood you to say that it's sold out?
So there's tickets still being added.
Oh, so tickets still being added.
So
okay. I got you.
Sometimes tickets are being released, and so we do still want to encourage the community to go and check the link as tickets become available. We have a capacity of 250, so it will be a nice crowd. I don't expect folks to stay the whole entire time, likely, but probably mix and mingle, check out the artists, and just really allow opportunity to mix and mingle with the community.
You know, it sounds like one of those, the event that you're talking about, the kind of event you're talking about, it flows anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everything keeps moving. You know, people come, people go. And what time does it start? It starts at 7?
Yes, okay. It goes from 7 to 9:30 p.m.
Yeah.
And then we have a social hour of networking from 9:30 to 11 p.m.
9:30 to 11 p.m. Oh, what is that?
So just social networking, allowing anybody in the community to really network with the attendees there. There'll be a live band and a DJ throughout the entire event. So it still is going to be a mixer type of event. Again, as you mentioned earlier, folks can flow in and out of the event as well.
So is it passe to say bring your business cards? Because now everybody has they have a LinkedIn link page.
Yeah.
So is it passe to say bring a business card? Because I don't want to say that, but what should people do to prepare for the networking thing?
I think business cards, I'm a little old school, so I
am too.
Cards.
Okay.
But I think a lot of people also are into exchanging their social media tags.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
That's what you see a lot. People whip out their phones and share their tags on social media, and that's how information is exchanged. And so I would just ask the community to be open to networking and meeting new people in the community. You never know who can help you to that next level in life. And so this is one of the things that we want to make sure that we support as well.
So who would best benefit from this? That may not know that they can benefit from it. Who do you think would best benefit from it?
So it is adult only, so I will say
okay,
that.
Okay, we got to get that out there then.
Yes,
okay.
It is adult only, even though we will be showcasing art from youth, right? And so you will be able to see some art from our local community of youth artists. But I think this event is really for everybody.
So adult, not 18 and over, 21 and over?
I would say 18 and over.
Oh, 18. Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. Just wanted to know the age cutoff.
Yep.
Okay.
So I would say 18 and over. And I think this event is really for everybody. I think everybody should be interested in some shape or form of art, right? Maybe it's hearing some good poetry. Maybe it's seeing some beautiful art. It could be seeing different fashions that you may be interested in, different hairstyles, makeup artists, photography. I mean, there is a good diversity of art being showcased this Friday.
Indeed. Well, thank you so very much for coming on and sharing that with us. And again, the website, I guess you say check Eventbrite. So just can you give us a rundown of the details again so that if folks want to attend, they can. It's this Friday. It's coming up in a couple of days.
Sure, yes. Art Culture Appetizers is this Friday, June 24th, from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Registration is required. You can find that registration link on our Facebook and Instagram social media sites at Chi Chi Omega. That's spelled C-H-I-C-H-I-O-M-E-G-A.
All righty. Thank you so very much, Madam President. Doing a fantastic job. All the best with the event on Friday.
And thank you so much for allowing us the time to speak about it.
All righty. Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And we are going to, yeah, we got time to do that. Do we have time to take a commercial break? Oh, we do. We do. Brandon's here with us today holding down the fort. So we are going to take a quick commercial break, and we will be back with more Community Connection, another artistic event. This one, live theater on the stage. We'll be right back.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Let's get back to the conversation. It's Community Connection with Tina Cosby from Isaacs and Isaacs Injury Lawyers, WeWin.com Studios on AM 1310, 92.7, 95.1 FM, The Light.
And we're back with Community Connection. As we mentioned earlier, we've just observed the Juneteenth celebration commemorating the final emancipation of slaves in America. And just a couple of weeks from now, not even a full 2 weeks, I don't think. Anyway, I haven't counted that exactly right. But anyway, the 4th of July, the nation will celebrate its independence from a foreign power on the 4th. The two celebrations of liberation are at the core of an upcoming stage presentation at the Phoenix Theater this coming Sunday. And is this Sunday only called Democracy Hypocrisy, the Red, White, and Blues of Freedom. We have several folks scheduled to join us, and a couple are with us right now. They are Ms. Latrice, the playwright, director, and actress of Democracy Hypocrisy, the Red, White, and Blues of Freedom, and Rain Wilson, also a playwright and actress in that same production. So Ms. Latrice and Rain, welcome. I think you have a couple of other folks associated with the production that will be joining us a little bit later, but welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
And we have Dominique Shelby, an actor, with me on the same line as well.
Oh, Okay, Dominique. Okay, well, you know what? There we go. Dominique Shelby, an actor. Welcome, Dominique.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So tell us about the title is fun. Democracy Hypocrisy. I like to, you know, it just kind of rolls off your tongue really well. The Red, White, and Blues of Freedom is very catchy. Very catchy title.
Mm-hmm. Vernon Williams is actually the one who coined this title and created it for us. It speaks to one of the pieces in the production, Democracy Hypocrisy. And, of course, when Phoenix Theater approached Vernon about doing a Juneteenth production, that kind of lended itself to the title. We're talking about the red, white, and blues. We're talking about how we celebrate Independence Day on the 4th of July.
Uh-huh.
It literally is what it says, you know, democracy, hypocrisy. What's going on with this so-called freedom in this red, white, and blue country, the United States of America? And so all of the pieces speak to some of the hypocrisy that we have seen from centuries back, dating from the time that they, you know, kidnapped us from Africa and all the way up to present day. Just some of the same things we're fighting for that we were fighting for centuries ago. And then we also still talk about the resistance and the perseverance of our people still being able to make ways out of no way, continuing on, finding reasons to still celebrate Black joy, Black excellence, despite how many systems are coming up against us every single day, despite how many racist, you know, ideologies we have to go against every single day.
Yeah. So what would you point out, or what would you, one of the things you would point to as one of the biggest hypocrisies of our current democracy?
Probably the simple fact of, Rain, go ahead. Were you about to say something?
Yeah, both of you can weigh in.
The prison industrial complex.
Yep.
The idea that so many ways of enslaving our people, and the prison system is one of them, and stripping so often the right to vote, tearing down the our Black and brown homes, by incarcerating our men at a much higher rate. And so you have another form of enslavement. And I think that's one of the biggest hypocrisies of the idea of freedom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, Miss Latrice, you were saying?
Yep, that was actually one of the points I was going to hit on, knowing that there's still a clause for slavery that says except for criminal punishment. So if you are against the law or a criminal by law, they can still enslave you. So technically speaking, slavery is not completely banished or abolished. It is still allowed for those people who are in the criminal justice system, and exactly what Rain hit on. Enslavement is very well alive and still here. So that speaks to the democracy hypocrisy. There's still so many people, even after celebrating Juneteenth as a federal holiday, who thought that was just, well, yeah, this is celebrating our freedom. Not necessarily, because there's still so many people being enslaved thanks to this prison industrial complex, the school to prison pipeline, all of those things that, you know, keep Black people, Black and brown people specifically, going right back into slavery. So it's as if it never really ended. They're paid cents on the hour in the prison systems, yet these corporations, and the prison system is a corporation, it's a business, is making millions and sometimes billions off of those, off of that same labor from the criminals, but they're only paid cents. And then once they're released, if ever released from the prison system, there's still, you know, there's certain jobs they can't make anywhere near that money that the corporations are making off of them.
Yeah, yeah. So this is a one-act joint live stage. It says a soulful, riveting one-act joint live on stage production. So what's the energy surrounding this? I mean, is this presented? And I'll ask Mr. Shelby, you know, as an actor, what kind of energy are you using to bring this message to the forefront?
We're bringing urgency. And then we're also urgency is the biggest one. We want to make sure that our message is clear, concise, and taken seriously, because we understand how serious our message is. So the energy we're bringing is a lot of urgency, a lot of intention and conviction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a one act. Which is interesting. It's not musical or anything like that. It's just all dialogue, right? It's all
No. So
no, it's layered.
Layered. Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead,
acting,
both of you.
Acting, dancing, spoken word, and some skits acting wise a part of it as well. So there's so much packed into this one act play, and we say one act because it's not, you know, there's not two acts. It's all
well, yeah.
It doesn't go over 2 hours. It's about 90 minutes around that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what it includes. But yeah, there's spoken word, acting, singing, dancing, all throughout, interwoven.
Yeah. So how would you describe this in terms of past productions that you all have done? How would you describe this one?
I think that one of the most powerful things was that Vernon saw an opportunity for collaboration with this piece. He was asked to create this, and he actually approached Latrice and I as two other playwrights. And we talked about it, and we discussed the breakdown of the Red, White, and Blues of Freedom and what his vision was. And all three of us being writers and actors and being in the entertainment field connected with education, with theater, we all wrote poems, we wrote scenes, we wrote monologues, and we tried to capture the vision, and we tried to capitalize on this idea of democracy and the hypocrisy of it all. And then there was a weaving together that we did so that all the pieces could flow. And then Latrice can speak about how she came and brought on an even deeper perspective,
mm-hmm.
seeing how to put this on the tongues and bodies of actors and how to engage with other art forms in terms of song or dance.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so, you know, once we got all the writing and edited it in a way that it made sense writing-wise, then, of course, I'm tasked with the director's job of making sure I can cast the actors to do what the writing was said. And so then I had to take my writing brain off and really go into the director's mode and see the script in a brand new way,
mm-hmm.
Knowing that if a poet is speaking and there could be dance behind them, or knowing which dance piece can go right after that piece in song, and vice versa, knowing that the words were written in a way that it could lend itself to a hip-hop rap type of style, putting that on the actors and giving that to them for them to bring their own creativity to, but as well as, you know, whatever my directorial guidance was for them as well. And so it all just slowly but surely started to come off the page, speak to each of us differently, and now we're just coming from a rehearsal on the actual stage that we're going to be on for this Sunday. And my brain is still going like, oh my gosh, okay, we need to move over here because now we're on the stage and we see the space for what it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
So that changes things too. But mostly, mm-hmm. like Dominique said, is bringing that urgency and the conviction to the audience members is what I was trying to bring out from the writing. We already did that as the writers. That was our job. But as the actors, getting them to be and live in that moment, because as Black people especially, we become desensitized and numbed to what's actually going on with us. And so I had to get the actors to actually, you know, take on what we're saying in these scenes. It's very heavy, some of the stuff that we're talking about. And they wanted to run from it. And I said, no, you have to live in it. So if you have to cry through that scene, that's what we need to see. If it's not making you sad, don't pretend to be sad, right? We don't want people up there pretending on the stage. Live in whatever that is. If it's joyful, live in that Black joy. You know, if it's supposed to be hype, live in that Black hypeness, live in the Black dopeness, all that it is, and really see what these words mean to you and your people and your ancestors and all of our ancestors. So that's what it's been like doing the production, bringing it from page to stage so far.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sorry. Go ahead. Well, I thought there was someone was about to say something. So, another art form, I was just talking with someone that, you know, they have an event that's coming up that's one form of art. This obviously is another art form. How do you think people receive and relate to the stage and when something is on stage? You know, is it still as effective as it once was?
Yes. I think even more so now.
Okay.
Because I think as a people, we are becoming, as a people, much more active now with our protests, our marching, us speaking out politically. So I think because of that, you create an audience in front of a live stage, and it becomes this extremely visceral experience. And I think right now, that's what we need to stay activated. We need to feel. and outside of the news and outside of the radio and all the videos that we're watching, to be up close and personal in the energy of our people and the voice of our people, I think that that's an experience that our people now are running to.
Yeah, yeah. And I like what you said there about the fact that, certain people are numb. I mean, you see it a lot of times on text messages, SMH, where people don't even want to respond anymore or just throw their hands up, SMH, shaking my head. The numbness that is coming down on society day in, day out, day in, day out. It's a real thing.
Yes. Yes. I'm from Chicago, and I was just... I couldn't even make it through a video that was sent to me today just concerning a police shooting of an unarmed 13-year-old last year. And the video, I guess, is just being released recently. And it's it almost becomes overwhelming to the senses. But like Latrice said, the way that we push that out is to dance through it, sing through it, act through it, poet through it. And that's the way we release that, really, without losing our minds. And so I think that theater is kind of that that great medium that not only puts it in front of us and allows us to feel, it also allows for dialogue to happen after. People are talking in their cars. They're having conversations at their table about what they just saw. And this kind of thing really opens us up to try and figure out, what do we do with what was just on stage? How do we become more active and keep moving this ball forward? So I think it's really powerful, and even more today.
Yeah, yeah. And so in terms of how many actors are taking the stage for this?
There's about 10 actors, 11 of us total with singing included. And then there's also four dancers coming from South Shore Dance Alliance coming out of Northwest Indiana.
Yeah, yeah. And that's... wow. Okay. So, and you say the production is about 90 minutes?
Yeah, it's about roughly 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's going to be at the Phoenix Theater Cultural Center. Tell us about that. I'm not familiar with that venue.
Well, it's a newer venue. If I'm correct, it came out during COVID when, you know, people weren't necessarily allowed to be inside. You could do things outside and not have as much of a fear.
Ah.
Things like that. Yeah. So a lot of venues were afforded the resources and the income to produce things outside. And so Phoenix Theater was blessed enough to have an outside venue. And they've continued, you know, even now with us kind of it not being as pandemic like with COVID. And so they invited us to perform it here at this outside park. So it's across from their main stage building, Phoenix Theater. And this is the park at Phoenix Theater outside.
Oh, so this will be an outside, outdoor production.
Yes, this is an outdoor production. Absolutely.
Okay. And a rain location just in case?
They're in a meeting now talking about that. More than likely, that will be inside at the actual Phoenix Theater building if rain does put us, you know, in that predicament. But we're praying we won't even have to go there.
So are there any special, I understand that, special challenges when you're doing outdoor theater? Boy, that takes you back to, like, the basic roots of theater, outdoors. I mean, are there?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me about that. That's interesting.
Yeah, so trying to project, you know, there's, of course, medical emergencies happening. You hear the sirens. You hear people walking. So you have all that. Fortunately, we've still been able, even without mics, to project and be heard in what will be the audience space. We will have mics as well. It's before it's nighttime, so it shouldn't be as lively as a Sunday night or a weekend night would be here in Indianapolis. So I'm praying, you know, we'll still be able, our message will be received well, heard. It is quite secluded. They have the gates up and wrapping around the gates so you can't really see outside and inside, so actors shouldn't be as distracted because we're talking right to the very people who are in front of us.
Actors don't get distracted, not in the middle of a production.
No.
They maintain focus.
Airplanes. You hear the airplanes, so knowing when to stop and stopping still in your character but continuing on in that same.
That makes sense. Yeah. Yeah, and so this starts at 4 o'clock in the afternoon then, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It'll open at 3 p.m. and it will begin promptly at 4.
Now, I'm
705 North Illinois.
Yeah. So I'm curious. It says one performance only. So after this one, it goes away, or are you going to, you know, wrap it up and bring it out at another point in time? I mean, what happens after this one?
Our goal is to take it on tour eventually. We have to find venues and spaces and actors again. Of course, myself and Dominique, we're actually moving, or have moved technically, to Pennsylvania. So I'll be going to Pennsylvania. If they take it to Pennsylvania, maybe Dom and I can find our way into the production again. But I know that we definitely have a plan to do even a fuller version of this showcase. Right now, of course, this is the one-act version, but there's so much more that we could have put into this show in particular, and even now with more recent events, things that we can add to this show. But yes, the goal is not to just let it die out and go away, but for this summer.
One of the things is
the only performance.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to piggyback on what Latrice was saying in terms of to move it forward. Just letting audience members know, and everyone who's listening, that with theater, there takes so much to move theater, and ultimately it moves with more ease, with the more feedback and the more reviews and the more people are saying we want to see it again.
Mm.
We know people that need to see it.
Mm-hmm.
So with this being one day, we just need the house to be filled. We need people to be talking about it. And I have no doubt people are going to be wowed and impacted, but that just needs to be shared on social media and in other spaces, because then that will equip Vernon with what he needs to have dialogue with other spaces and places and say, look, this is what we did here, we can do it again. But that audience and that feedback makes a huge difference in being able to do that.
So in terms of what determines a run, you're saying it's as simple as public reaction determines?
There are so many ways to do theater.
Okay.
Now, right now, what I'm saying is that you can do a show for a weekend, and a lot of people don't know what that actually takes in terms of the cost and the manpower and the energy. But when you're actually trying to move it, what needs to happen is Vernon begins to have then other conversations, say with school partners or with other places, Gary, Indiana, or spaces in Chicago or Detroit. But one of the things that you're able to take with you that helps is just to be able to say, we did excellent here. And so what I'm saying is that the showing up of people and the showing out and people getting on social media, it does matter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It does matter.
It does indeed. Okay, so give us the particulars again, and is seating limited? I mean, do you have a limited number of seats that you can make available for?
Latrice, do you know how many?
It's at 300. It can seat 300 people mm-hmm. here, so not limited at all for this type of production, especially being outside.
Mm-hmm.
26, 4 p.m. at the Phoenix Theater Park outside, which is across from the Phoenix Theater Building, 705 Illinois Street. You'll have to find parking in this good old downtown parking area, so we encourage you to arrive as early as you can. Doors open at 3 p.m., and I just want to reemphasize what Rain said. This is a new production. People have never seen it before, and when you've never seen a production before, everything is about funding.
Mm-hmm.
They don't fund what they don't know. So since this is technically the world premiere of this show, it is important for people to come out and see it and talk about it and say what they enjoyed about it or what they didn't, so we can improve it along the way. Funding
mm-hmm.
is what's needed. You have to pay the actors. You have to pay the dancers. These dancers are coming from Northwest Indiana. So that's expensive in itself. So if we're taking it on tour or continuing these shows, we do need to have funding to pay all of these wonderful people for the excellence they are pouring into us. And I'll give the Phoenix Theater number as well, which is the box office number that you can call for ticket information, 317-635-7529.
Mm-hmm.
That's 317-635-7529. 7529 at the Phoenix Theater Cultural Center, 705 North Illinois Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46204.
Democracy Hypocrisy, the Red, White, and Blues of Freedom, coming to a stage near you outside. Outside, that's going to be a wonderful, wonderful venue. One performance only, 4 o'clock on this coming Sunday. Wow, powerful message coming at you in a lot of different ways. What do you say, the spoken word, dance, and music, song and drama. Songs and drama is what it said. Wow.
Both were riveting one-act joint.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it. So get tickets. You can accommodate up to 300 people. It will be outside. It should be a lovely day. It should be a lovely performance. Looking forward to hearing more about it. And hopefully this won't be the end of it. Hopefully this is just the start.
Exactly. And you can also get tickets online on Phoenix Theater's website as well.
Indeed, indeed. Well, thank you also, Miss Latrice, Mr. Shelby, Miss Wilson. Thank you all so much. Break a leg. Do everything you need to do. This sounds like it's going to be great. Tell Vernon thank you so much.
Opportunity.
All righty. Thank you, Vernon.
Okay.
All right. We appreciate it. And that is about all the time we have for right now. We're always right here on WTLC AM 1310, 92.7 FM, and 95.1 FM, The Light. Don't forget about our website, praiseindy.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Light. On Twitter, we are at Community Indy. Willie Moore Jr. Is up next. Thanks again for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, everyone, please be safe, be well, and do your best to be careful. I'm Tina Cosby. This is Community Connection.